Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Off-Centered Outdoors Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Dockstetter, and it's a family episode today. A little bit of a redo. We got Jeff back in here with us today, and Chucky's sitting over there. What's your nickname today?
Jeff Beck? Or Jeff Beck?
No, not Jeff Beck.
Oh, darn. Today, oh, hey, I'm your...
Yeah, what's your nickname today?
My formerly shoes-wearing, animal stuffing midget moron from Ohio.
It's a heat wave. It's like 50
today. It's a heat wave, yeah. Don't have to wear shoes.
The lights might even turn on.
Yep. It's good to be back.
Always.
All the way from last week.
Yeah, we figured out this technology, I think. So we're going to try again with the Canon man here shortly.
Yeah, shortly.
But we're going to do some catching up first and shoot the shit for a little bit.
Yeah, I see a backpack laying there.
Yep, got to finish up last week's project.
You know, that's a different looking pack than the one I... That looks like a radio pack to
me. Yeah, we were talking about that when I bought it. It's,
oh, that's right.
That's one of the ones that Matuska sells.
Yeah.
They're a little bit cheaper than the other super fancy ones.
The $300 one?
Yeah, these ones are like $170-something.
That's good.
And they got all kinds of accessories you can buy for them.
Oh, like props?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the special, one. Special blankets and canteens and like knives and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, look how... I did that one 3 years ago. Well, it's not because of me, that trip.
No,
but
for sure.
It looks good. It looks more on, I think. But I got those two packs last week for $50 apiece. But then the trouble was I go, oh, crap. This one's some kind of M46 super special, you know, bazooka pack or something. So that goes in the war room. And the other one I got two of, so I can use one radio pack for that. And keep one.
But yeah, one thing's for sure, Tom Matuska is not afraid to try to make some money. He's selling everything that's not nailed down over there. So
really?
They've got everything in that catalog nowadays. So
well, they need to.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're one of the last, you know what I mean?
Yeah, somebody's got to compete with the brand.
Yeah. Well, someone, if we get somebody back in office, we might have to rat the brand out for like a monopoly or something. Because I'm pretty sure you can't own everything. But maybe you can.
I don't know.
Hey, what you been up to, Jeff? You went to... We were discussing you last week because I told you we would.
Yeah.
Because we said we want to get your business coach because you got to go to Hawaii. And our business coach said, we could go to Hawaii, but are all our capes done from the first run? So I said, no. And then he goes, and then when are your next capes coming? And I said, next week. He goes, okay. So if you get all of that done, and then you don't have your other capes, then you can go. But you got to just go.
Well, I didn't really have a choice. Oh, well, You always have a fucking choice.
Here you go.
You always have a choice.
Rick would say, stop talking, Jeff.
However, you know, believe it or not, I actually didn't want to go at that time. The timing wasn't good, but... You know, when you got somebody who's a brother to you getting married.
No, I get it.
You know what I mean?
But what an opportunity for me and Matt to just punish you relentlessly.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, somebody had to. Went over for Kalani's wedding. And
there we go.
Showed up on Thursday. Cruised over to the west side of the... Was on Oahu, by the way. And went to the Waianae side. And had some Locomoco. Chilled out for a little bit.
What's the Locomoco?
It's a hamburger patty on with a fried egg on rice with gravy over it.
Ooh, that's
it's so damn good. Yeah.
As long as it ain't that poi crap, man.
Nah, you know, I tried some again, and you know, I didn't like it when I was nine, and I didn't like it.
Because my Hawaiian boss and stuff, and he'd do these, and I honest to God, even then, I tried them, and no matter how much beer I washed it down with...
it don't matter.
I go, what the heck? It must be an acquired taste.
Yeah. It is. You know, and it's not too bad once you deaden your... It's like whiskey. Once you take one shot, get it over with, and it's not too bad. I never went back for seconds, though.
Yeah.
No,
but
like
yeah, I had a dinner the first night, chilled out, then was going to go to Honolulu. Mm-hmm. I was solo. I did it on a budget. Used my Sky Miles, my flight.
No
cost,
kidding.
My
I'm proud of you almost.
My Sky Miles is what it cost me, but other than that, it was $38 to fly first class there and back.
That's all.
That's it. Dude, but 246,000 Sky Miles.
Oh,
you know, and then
I have like 5 Sky Miles.
Well, that's an accumulation of, you know, the past 5 years. using that same card and building them up.
But, and now with the way the planes are, me and Matt will be driving everywhere.
I'll wait till they build a bridge to Hawaii.
Well, Joe said they were building that train, you know. So
Actually, my uncle was just over there right now, too, and his return flights got canceled like 7 times.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, so he ended up getting back last night, back to L.A. But yeah, he had to book like 5 different flights because they kept canceling them.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people think that it's oh, well, your flight got canceled. You're still in Hawaii. Yeah, I'm in an airport, man. Yeah. It's not that great. Yeah.
No,
you know?
No.
But no, I rented a
ukulele?
Like a, well, no, I bought that son of a bitch. I know. That broke my budget. That ukulele cost me more than the trip itself.
Well, because you had to have it for your collection. I totally understand that.
Hawaiian made, and that's a company that's been around since 1918.
Yeah, I get it. Dude, you're talking to Hector the collector. It's all right. That, you get a pass. That's where I'm hypocritical.
Yeah.
But I'm not at the same time.
Uh-huh.
But I rented an Airbnb. It was just a room at somebody's pad. It was cheap. I mean, the whole trip, besides the ukulele and few souvenirs, it's like $1,200 for the whole thing.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Nice.
Plus food. So it wasn't too bad. But I spent the whole time driving around the island. And other than the wedding was awesome. Mahalo for having me a part of it, bro. And I just soul searched, sat on a piece of sand in a bay and played my ukulele and floated in the bay. I was telling Matt, shit, I was meditating while I was floating and fell asleep.
And then you woke up when the shark bit you?
Yeah.
He woke up in Japan.
I did.
That's funny.
But no, it was a good trip, man. It was very soul searching and it grounded myself and it gave me more focus because, you know, 12 birds a month is just not even good enough for me as far as I'm concerned. I think I can do more than that, but I'm all caught
up.
I'm not gonna tell you you can't.
I know you can. There's guys that, you know, I was surprised that Kevin, believe it or not, he was showing me because he came in and the one was wet and we were doing the angel wings.
Yeah.
And that bird's never touched the ground when Kevin mounts them, believe it or not.
Really?
Even though he does he does use foam bodies, but he has this way where he hooks it somehow and puts the wire, and he does it all through a U-cut, because when he inverts it completely.
Oh, so he's going in the thigh area.
Right, and then he, it's like they're so, that's one reason they're so super clean.
Nice. And, well, that's why I switched over to the belly incision. Depending on what it's doing. If it's coming in angel wings, I'm going up the back, you know?
I'm just saying that it was interesting because, you know, Kevin is Kevin, and he's, you know, been doing it 40
years. I can't wait to meet this guy.
Yeah, you can. He's a blues harmonicist who played on albums with Merle Haggard and everything. For real.
Dude.
Yeah, he's a different...
What an experience, man.
Well, no, you need to meet each other because he's a different... He's like crazy like you, but
we just gotta get us a pair of spoons for Matt.
Nobody's crazy like Jeff.
Uh-huh.
Get a pair of spoons for Matt. We'll put you on bass. I'll grab Get Fiddle and put him on.
You know what? Maybe we should.
Monica, and we'll write ourselves a song. Just something simple and goof off with it and have fun.
Yeah,
we don't even have to record it. Just to have some fun.
Just interesting. That's all. Never mind. Enough about that.
Yeah.
Anyway. So you. You came back, and I saw you did a couple of birds already or something, right?
Oh, yeah. No,
wow. I mean... Yeah, it's like, who are you, and what did you do with the taxidermist formerly known as Jeff?
I'm Boss Hoggins, as I call it. That's my alter ego that I just got to stop putting up with all the bullshit out of myself, you know, and get my shit done. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, your birds absolutely look clean and frosty, so...
Like I was telling him this morning, you know, oh, I did this and that, but... At the same time, that's just operating at normal levels. So
well, that's the deal. You know,
there's no attaboy or fucking good job.
Remember
deserved,
when I used to
know?
Tell you that saying, you don't get a medal for making your bed?
That's
right.
That's
really what that means.
Yep.
They go, what? No, that's what it means. You don't get rewarded for doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
No.
You know?
Shit, I would have been done with 3 birds yesterday, but my back went out on me in the middle of the fucking day. Just take sat on ice and knocked out 1.5. You know.
So that's what you were talking about.
Yeah.
I thought you were getting ready for the funnel thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I just put my bib on because it might get messy in here in a little bit.
You just never know.
Yeah.
Nope, you don't.
And Matt, you got in the wind yesterday.
Yeah, I went for a little ride. That was nice. Mm-hmm. 77 in the middle of January. Beautiful. So you got to go out and enjoy it, right? Right.
Yeah.
I took the boss up to Cayucas for the day and had
some
lunch.
To that fish shack or whatever?
Yeah, the sea shanty.
Sea shanty.
Yeah.
Seems like I know that from somewhere.
It's been there for, well, as long as I've been here. It opened in 83.
Yeah. So maybe I've been there.
It was a damn good place.
Yeah. Good. And then I, of course, cooked off antlers yesterday.
And I saw your bowl of soup out there.
Mounted an antelope. And today I'm going to change out. But we seem to be going on sideways mounts for some reason right now.
It tends to be the trend these days.
Yeah, we got like, shit, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9,
yeah.
10.
Yeah.
10, yeah, 10 altogether so far.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's the new trend. These very extreme turned wall pedestals are pretty hot right now. So We got to do what we got to do.
That's it. I told you it's a trend, or Mike says it's like a fad. And then just like it's hard to believe as much, it's like you rediscovered the offset semi-sneak.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really going strong in 72. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
That's a whole gen. Think about it.
Oh, no, for
that's
sure.
That's a whole 50 years ago.
Well, everything runs in cycles. We know that. I mean, when I took art appreciation, you know, back in 1855, when I walked to school uphill both ways in the snow. Yeah, no, that's the one thing that they pointed out.
Actually walked to school
for real. Mm-hmm. What's that?
I actually walked to school for real.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, same here.
Me too.
Yeah.
It was always a struggle to get home without getting caught by the homies. But, art, music, trends, they all recycle themselves throughout the years. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, absolutely. We gotta roll with the punches. We can't, like I said before, we can't get stuck.
No. Did you put up the last week's?
Nope, it'll go up. I'll put it up tonight. It'll go live at midnight.
Okay. Oh, that's right. It's
we're a day off. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I felt weird the whole way down here because I feel like I forgot to put it up, and then no, it's Monday.
Yeah, that was Jeff. We're really sad you missed that because John was. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
For some reason he likes you, and we were trying to understand that. You know.
I don't know why anybody likes me. Yeah. I mean, like I always say, do I have to hang out with me? The motherfucker's crazy.
We keep you around for some reason.
Yeah. He really helped him out, I guess, through some dark times. That's why you really are a savant. People don't realize, you know.
Yeah.
They only see me kicking your, you know, my boot
I've been
up
thinking
your ass
about that
something.
Too. Why is it that people, you know, somebody reached out to me and said, you know, you have a calm demeanor, and it's like,
no,
not at all. But thank you. But you know, I think some of the reason why people turn to me or are drawn to me when they're in dark times is because when you've been through it, you understand it. And you know, I refer to it as a trauma tribe. You've been through so much bullshit that when you see other people that have been through it and survived it, you support each other.
Well, Don, you and Joe Kish would say also, we seem to find each, I mean, even in the, like we all found, well, we live close, but still the odds that we would end up how we ended up, and
yeah,
or even Joe would be here working in this shop, or Sam the or anybody. We all find each other, but you can't transmit what you don't have. So
no,
you have to experience. I mean, you can be empathetic, but until you've really been through the meat grinder in whatever it is,
got to be forged by the fire, man.
Then you can't, and then people know when. See, they know when you're jeffing, but then they know when you're genuinely.
Yeah.
If you,
well, it's always genuine.
Sense.
It's just.
Well, yeah.
What translates from here to here to the other person's ear isn't always in alignment.
No, that's okay. I know. I'm the worst one. People have no idea. Matt, that he's.
I need a translator for your ass, and I've been. You've been my brother for what? 15, 20 years now.
Yeah,
something crazy.
Matt can speak my language pretty good, so that's.
I
depend on him a lot.
Kind of got it figured out a little bit. Yeah. There's still days I'm left puzzled, but
yeah, I see the confused look on your face from time to time.
You know, that's what
I'll look at you, and you just go.
As soon as Frazier found out how I was wired, and you know, you laugh because you think I'm joking, but no, he really said, "Chucky, I want you to put this door. This is a true story. Put it on this side. Blah 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 blah."
And you flipped it.
Yeah, but he wanted it on that the other side.
So he knew.
He just told me.
Opposite.
Laid it all out, said do this, and I did it how he wanted it, and so instead of frust, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What'd they call that in school? Opposite day?
Yeah.
They should have called it Chucky day.
Uh-huh. Well, this is a big mystery, because if you guys, if I could ever do this, so I'm trying to order this, some dog crap on Chewy, right, and then so my email.
Might make it themselves, I don't have to order it.
Huh?
I said, mine make their own dog crap. I don't have to order it.
Why is he ordering dog shit?
Well, because isn't that what you smoke?
No, I don't smoke.
A pipe or Cody? No, I was ordering some stuffed dog toys. So you put your email in the password.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that damn password in 50 times. And finally, Wendy comes up. Then she gives me her phone. So she had it logged in on the phone, but then it wouldn't go to the thing I was ordering for some reason.
I have the problem all the time.
So then she comes back, and she just puts in the password.
And it goes right straight through.
Yeah. She goes, what's wrong with you?
It's because
you're doing something wrong.
For me, my fingers will hit a different key, and I won't realize it.
Well, that's it. It's dyslexia.
That's what I'm assuming.
That's what a part of dyslexia is. You think you're...
Yeah.
I think I'm hitting A, but it's... whatever,
yeah,
over and over, but in my mind I'm even reading it. It's just a weird, you can't even really
for sure.
My teacher when I was in the third grade taught me, you know, if you can't slow your mind down and be able to read what you're reading, because that was the biggest thing, like you said, you invert stuff and you don't realize you're inverting it. She taught me to do it upside down and backwards, so I would flip the book around.
Dominatrix taught me.
Yeah, no, she serving me well. She told me it'll slow my brain down to the point to where I'm reading it proper, because I'm slowing down to understand what it is rather than speeding through it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, but the thing is that you really can't help it. And that's people. And in my day, which was 10 years earlier than yours, they just said you were stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was how that all got started. We don't need to recrash that, because we got to call a redneck.
Yep. Yeah. We're going to try to relive the other day's episode with a technology that actually works.
Mm-hmm.
Here, Chucky. Let's do it this way.
Here, you can drive again.
We'll try to run the technology here without screwing it up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, turn this back to hot. Turn him on there. You guys got a ring?
Wow.
That's cool, huh?
Now to just figure out how to do it with the FaceTime.
Hello, John Guerin's electronic secretary.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Thanks.
There he is. Can you hear me now?
Hello.
Uh-oh, we screwed something up. Hang on. He either hung up on us or I hung up on him. One of the two.
You press green or red, because I do that sometimes.
Howdy ho.
Hey, can you hear me now?
You there?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Can you hear us?
Hello, hello.
Oh, no.
No.
Hello.
Hello, hang on.
Hang on. Are you there?
No.
Yeah, howdy.
Hey, there you are.
Nice.
What are you guys up to?
Apparently that's a directional plug.
Yeah, it's a directional cord. You got to put it in upside down because it's us.
Yeah.
Well, hey, the sun's actually out here today, man.
Yeah, it's not bad here either.
Yeah, I got no shoes on again.
We're like 52 degrees this morning.
Oh, that's awesome, actually. Yeah, I'm wearing my sandals today too. Just got back from a daily trip to Walmart. That's always a pleasurable experience.
Yeah, last time we talked to you, you were just getting back from Walmart.
Oh, I do.
In the parking lot of Walmart.
Dude, I hate the place, but I swear I'm there. Like, I mean, you know. my tail's not fully developed just yet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like me in the seventh grade, but you know, it's not fully developed yet. But anyway, so it's it's one of those things I go all the time. I had to get a new chair for my shop.
Mm-hmm.
I had some damn stray cat decided he should come in there and piss on my shop chair.
As they do.
Yeah. And so the deal is with cat piss is what I found out is once you smell cat pee, everything in the world smells like cat pee to you.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like I really like this mango tea. It's awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I really like it, but I open it up. Like, this is like going to get my chair, right? Mm-hmm. Open it up, and I'm like, my God, it smells like cat piss, too. I smell like cat piss. My mango tea smells like cat piss. Everything smells like freaking cat piss. So I was just so angry. I threw that chair out there by the highway. So I know somebody's going, some redneck's going to stop and pick it up, and they're going to have the cat piss chair, you know?
Good. Well, hell yeah.
And they're not going to understand why everything smells like cat piss.
You can set it by the hole in charge of admission.
Does that you that smells like cat piss? I don't know.
Yeah, but... Yeah. Geez, last time I guess that we screwed up the...
Yeah, Matt thought he knew how to run the electronics, and he did not, so...
Yeah. All that's sad about that was because we had that great discussion about your giant hole in your front yard.
Oh, still man, there? I can bring that abso-freaking-lutely. It's not going nowhere. You know, and the thing is, see, Matt's younger than us, Chuck. He missed out on the days of the tape recorder. You know how you would have to wait for Casey Kasem to say, here's the top 10, and then you hit the record? You remember
right,
that button?
Right.
Hey, I'm
younger. That's how we got our mixtapes back in the day.
Uh-huh. I'm younger, but I grew up poor, so I totally know what you're talking about.
Hey, my mixtapes were always really crappy because you could hear like my dad in the background yelling, you know.
No,
my
you
mom
know,
would open up the door and say, what the hell are you doing inside of here? Mm-hmm. Oh, you need to get your laundry. Like, Mom, you know, like right in the middle of, you know, just a really like, you know,
like right in the drum solo in the Gata De Vita, right?
No, this is really crappy hairband stuff. This is like, you know, your Dawkins and your Cinderellas, you know, and all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Something about Matt that really, why he really just jumped right in here, because even though he's younger than us by 25 years, he was raised by guys like, he just knows stuff, dude. He knows all the old stuff.
Yeah, see, I love people that were raised that way, man. I got a couple of buddies a lot younger that understand how cool it is to eat, you know, like Vienna sausages driving down the highway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now you can put a can of Chef Boyardee. You can actually put it, like a buddy of mine has he's got a forge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like really cold out in his shop and stuff. But the cool thing is you got that forge because it kind of warms you up a little bit, yeah. You know? And we were cooking lunch, and he's like, well, hell, let's just put it on top of the forge. Mm-hmm. Warm up a couple cans of Chef Boyardee. Man, we were doing something. We turned our backs, and both of those damn cans went off like a shotgun.
You forgot to put the hole in it.
To this day, and they were closed cans, so but they blew up, and they shot ravioli all over his ceiling. It's still there to this day.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. Yeah.
That's old school stuff there,
you know,
man.
Like Mike said, he would make his lunch and put it on his get to work and just set it, you know, inside his engine compartment.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll still be warm at lunchtime, even in Iowa.
Yeah, make some muffler meat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, one of my custom, I'll tell you about the whole thing, one of my custom accessories that I'm actually pretty famous for, because I think I invented it, I'm not sure, but there's like these these younger guys will say, my dad told me about what you had in your truck back in the 80s. I was like, yeah, I was on the forefront. But what I did, though, I had this bright idea that I replaced my windshield washer container. I went to GM and bought a brand new one for my truck, you know, where it's clean.
Uh-huh.
And then basically I disconnected that line. I bought a little bitty, it's for an aquarium, but it has like a shut-off petcock valve on it.
Okay.
I ran it to the inside of my truck so you could fill that bad boy with Jack Daniels because it wouldn't freeze in the winter. You hit that windshield washer button, you make yourself a little drink while you're going down the road.
That's awesome.
Only a redneck.
Don't you love that? That's, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I think the only thing that got me is I took it to go have it inspected. And that was back when, so they're checking all this stuff. It was like some, you know, probably some new kid inspecting. Didn't want to lose his license, so he's checking everything. He hit that damn button, and he shot booze all over my floor. And So anyway, that was the only thing. It was the only drawback because he told me it had to work, and he sent me home, you know, just to reroute everything. Uh-huh. But that's pretty much it. But yeah, no, the hole is still there, man, and no one cares to this day.
That's nuts. I can't believe
it. I went out there yesterday. I was rolling in, and some other idiot put a damn election sign out in my field.
Uh-huh.
And you know what the thing is? These may be great candidates, and this is like some guy running for Texas. I think Senate, this guy was. But even the sheriff of my county, they think that there's an open field and they automatically have permission without asking to put their damn signs out there.
Yeah.
And so I come home and there's all these random signs. But see, I'm respectful. They use really nice T-posts, and also those signs make great targets.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
So I cut their zip ties, steal their T-posts, and keep them. And then, of course, you'll see them come back out there looking, and they'll put another one back up there. Again, I let them keep the second one. I just keep the first one for target.
Mm-hmm. That's funny, but you could put, like, roll out some turf right over the hole. And when they go to put the sign up,
put spikes at the bottom of the hole.
No, oh, my God.
Yeah, don't. Yeah. I'm sorry I told you that now.
Dude, you could.
So I got me three politicians down here.
That might
and
be
the craziest. And to get out, they're going to have to sign this bill to do this or that, right?
Well, I was going to get some Dollar Tree skeletons. You know, that they're not anatomically correct at all. You know, I mean, they're terrible,
uh-huh.
But they are cheap. Mm-hmm. And I was going to throw a couple of them down there. I was going to put them in the right-of-way that the state bought. When they start digging, they'll find, like, some plastic skull.
Oh, my God.
I was going to do that. But part of me now is just so damn busy. It's like, man, I'd love to do that joke, but, I got other stuff going on.
So me and Frazier, our boss, we were trying to cipher out how long a pole really would have to be if 27 feet below mm-hmm. the ground.
Yep.
Then it's got to be at least double that, right, for height.
I'm looking right now. I would say they stick up a good, dude, they're a good 35 to 40 feet sticking
right.
up.
Yeah.
So no wonder they got to close the highway to deliver it or something, you know?
That's a big son of a gun, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Unless it's one of those, now there's some of those that they fill full of, they put a big, like a concrete pier.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And then they'll run the bolts through there. And it could be one of those that sets on a concrete pedestal. It could be. But like I said, my response back when they told me shutting down the damn highway, I used the F word and everything, man. It's like,
F word and everything. That's funny.
Because I you know, I'm looking now and they're ginormous, and the pole's going, of course, I have one plate glass window in front of my house, where I can look out and see the lovely water tower, you know, and all that stuff, you know, out there in the trailer park. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so they're putting this god awful, you know, I can watch the meth monkeys walking by, you know, and fiddling around with shit, you know, and watching, you know, I watched one guy once, he was on the side of the road, and I guess he changed his oil and just decided to dump the whole damn thing in my ditch. That was awesome.
Boy. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Well.
And I've also found bicycles and all kinds of stuff. Now, when I was a kid, I used to find dirty books all the time in the road ditches. We live for that kind of stuff.
Oh, hell yeah.
Dirt bikes, you know? Mm-hmm. Dirty books and hot beers that hadn't been opened. That's what we that's what we'd score when we're 10, 11 years old on dirt bikes.
Those are nature books.
Yeah.
National Geographic.
You know, I think everywhere anybody grows up, somebody's got a story about finding dirty magazines somewhere in the forest.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of weird. I want to know who the hell's dropping all this shit off.
Well, here's the deal, too. And I lived, when I was littler, it was Mar Vista before I moved to Culver City, right down just before Bennett's Beach.
Uh-huh.
And there was nothing there, but there was this, I guess it was a thrifty drugstore when we were kids, huh? That was the big one. Or Rexall.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was Rexall.
Rexall.
And then there was a Barranca behind it, just a little one with trees, and we go and play with there. We found dirty magazines there.
Yeah.
Only I'm place in the not. City, you know.
Oh, yeah.
my favorite finding craft.
And so why there? I mean, what? Yeah. And who's doing it, like Matt said, right?
Well, my favorite growing up, we lived on this road, and at the end of the road, there was this thing called it's like a Collin County kind of adventure, I don't know, event center, I guess you would say. It's where, like, all the different schools in the county would come and show, like, their animals, like pigs and steers, you know, stuff like that. And So anyway, it was at the end of my road. Well, the cool thing was, is so when we were kids, these teenagers showing their animals, you know, they go out there and fry sand, they would have to chunk all their beer before they got to that sheriff that was down there to let them in. So we knew once that damn show was over, we'd get on our dirt bikes, we'd find all kinds of stuff. You know, like I said, like a maybe two beers gone out of a six pack kind of a stuff.
Nice.
So we would gather all that stuff up and take it back to our camp out. We had 200 acres back there, and we had like a little camp we built and stuff. And so there was an old well. So we had an old ammo boxes, and we'd put that beer inside of the ammo boxes that we found, and we'd drop it down with a rope inside those old well, and that old well to keep it cold, you know. And so then we'd tie the rope to the fence that was over there. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember it was on a Sunday, and probably like Worldwide Sports or one of those, or probably, mm-hmm. what was that one? Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
Yep.
And sitting there watching TV, and all of a sudden my dad comes in from checking cows and stuff on the farm, and he comes in there and plops open that Lazy Boy and sits there, and he says, the damnedest thing. And there I turn around and look, and everybody's looking, and he says that. You know, something crazy happened. He said, I was checking that back fence. He said, there's a damn rope tied on that fence. He said, I don't know where it went. It looked like it went off in that well. He said, I cut it loose before cows and stuff got tangled up in it. And my heart, dude, that was months worth of work dropped to the bottom of that well.
No. That's funny.
Yeah.
The ingenuity we used to have is hilarious, you know. I don't know. Hey, tell us about the, because I couldn't remember the name. All I could remember was the Andy Warhol painting. So you had that art show. Let's talk about that again.
So I had a buddy of mine out of Dallas. He did all the paperwork and the foot trails and all that stuff, I guess. So I had two pieces that went down, and they went to Jay-Z's art show. He has one in Miami and one in New York. It went to the Miami show. And and what's crazy, my big Polaroid camera, and then I had these big chattering teeth. Well, the big Polaroid camera actually sold. And sold for quite a lot of money, actually. And that, like I said, the funniest thing is knowing that it's in this billionaire's house. His wife was on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills or something like that. And this dude's like a movie producer. But so it ended up being in their billion-dollar house. And, yeah, it's like 2 feet from like a million-dollar Warhol and like a couple feet from a daggum Surratt. And here's this thing made out of plywood. Mm-hmm. Made out of plywood that I found, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then go ahead.
And it is the thing, though. The good thing is if it ever floods in that part of Miami, you could probably get on top of that camera and ride it out because it's got a lot of Bondo on it. Lots and lots of Bondo.
Oh, that's great.
But I was laughing at what you were saying about, you were thinking about the wiring. What happens if there's redneck wiring and shorts out and burns their house down or something?
Yeah, it was because it's pretty simple in the back. Now, I was thinking about this because when I make junk like that, you got to think about where does this stuff end up once it leaves my hands, you know?
Yeah.
And so the safest way to wire that thing is I actually convert a lot of it over to 12-volt, mm-hmm. which is a heck of a lot safer, you know? Yeah. I mean, literally, 12-volt's not going to do anything. I mean, you maybe feel a tingle, but I've been shot so many damn times I can't even feel it anymore. And so I did a lot of that in 12-volt and stuff like that. But, you know, there's this point that where I was wiring up stuff and may have gotten in a hurry and may have substituted, you know, blue painter's tape for electrical tape. Just, you know, I'm just saying.
I've never done that.
It should be fine, you know what I mean?
You could do anything once.
Yeah.
It should be just fine and dandy. But I told my wife, I'm going to cringe if I see about some, you know, some huge development in Miami, you know, like burning down the ground. You know, they're trying to trace it down. Damn, that was a sketchy-ass camera.
Yeah, something in Mar-a-Lago.
But I thought my teeth were going to sell. That was a big one. I sold, you know, that big, that P-51 Mustang I made out of that Sailfish. You remember that one?
Yeah.
I sold it, and I had a guy over here last week, and he put some money down on this big Stingray, the one I turned into the German bomber.
Oh, yeah, nice. That thing is bitching.
Yeah, he put some money down on that one, and so he's supposed to come actually pay it off in the next week, I think, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I still got to get rid of this Mai Mai and this big turtle I made. Mm-hmm. That's two other pieces. And the sleeve stack, I'm at the point of that. Do you ever get to the point to where you've laid so much Bondo and done so much sanding that you're just tired of it? You know, mm-hmm. what I mean? You get to that phase, and you're like, gosh, mm-hmm. I need to finish this, but I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm at that phase of that sleeve stack. It's like, okay, let me go buy some more Bondo. Okay, let me resand this. Oh, got to sand some more.
Yeah, but then you get to a point where you just finish it. It's just done.
Yeah, see, I still got to cast his head or sculpt the head, and I got the armature made for it and all that kind of stuff, and I got the clay. But you know, we had that little freeze going on here for about a week.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping the hell that this, because it's a water based clay, I'm hoping that it's survived. I haven't looked at it yet.
Hmm.
It gets crystals in it, you know.
Oh yeah.
And it makes it a little too soupy.
Mm-hmm.
But I was watching. Have you guys? I know y'all dabble in a lot of the same stuff I do. Have you seen this product? And I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a clay, and it has fiber stuff in it. But it turns out it's like a concrete product.
Hmm.
Y'all ever jacked with that?
No.
Interesting. Yeah.
No, that's it. That's weird.
Yeah, you can make like outdoor fountains with it.
Oh wow!
It's completely 100% waterproof. It's pliable enough where you can actually press it, like if you do a press mold.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You can like press it and stuff, and you can obviously sand it. And I mean, just do all this stuff with it. You can actually do some detail stuff in it. And when it hardens, it's just as hard as concrete.
Interesting.
Oh shit.
What's the name of that? Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know.
Man, I'll find it. It's got a weird name to it. I swear, like the part of it, it's got like a two-part name, and the last part's like Tai or T-A-I or something like that.
Hmm.
But I'll find it, and I'll message you guys.
Yeah, heck yeah.
But I've never messed with it. I started on YouTube watching videos of this one sculptor lady used it. And I was going, wow, she made her armature right out of metal.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went back, and she's taking aluminum foil, and you know we all use a lot of aluminum foil and aluminum
especially
foil,
for
and
her
so
hat.
She was. Yeah, and so well, she was, yeah, no joke. But she was using that. She was using that to put around, you know, the metal armature for this one statue she was making.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started mixing this crap, this clay stuff, and then she put a coat on it, and it didn't have the detail, but it had the form.
Mm-hmm.
Then she got it, and she got a fork, and she put grooves in it. She said, "This is gonna be for the second coat, and the second coat's where you put all your detail in it." And then she lets it dry for like 60 hours or something crazy. But dude, it was like they're hitting it with hammers and stuff.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
That's how hard it is.
God, can you imagine how much that speeds up your deal? Being able to build with aluminum foil and then
absolutely.
Coat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, cover it with that crap. And then, like I said, it's waterproof. Because I've always wanted to make my own fountain. You know, and I have people contact me wanting these sculpture things outside.
Yeah.
You know, and which I make mine out of fiberglass, and I trust it to a point.
Yeah.
But you know that if fiberglass sits outside, especially in salty environments, it doesn't last very long.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You know, it gets really smushy, I guess you would say, you
yeah.
know?
Boy, this is bitchy,
so, yeah,
man. You know,
kind of a game changer.
Yeah, there's a lot of them new products, like that game changer on that, that tube grout that we use now to...
Oh, yeah, the sanded grout.
Sanded grout
yeah.
to fill our gaps in when we're making rocks. It just sped
yeah.
up everything. I mean, it's a little pricey, but then when you flip it on your labor, it's and you're not mixing 5,000
yeah.
pounds of mache fill, you
when,
know,
when
rock
you don't,
mix.
When you don't use the automatic cock gun, it goes a little further, too. I found that out.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah, I was thinking that, too. Yeah, it's true.
Well, I've been so cheap, you know. I mean,
I've been so cheap, as a redneck should be, but...
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, just one of those things where, you know, I try to save money when I can, but,
yeah.
you know, and then looking at it and like, oh, yeah, I could get this product or I could buy this tool, but no, you know, I'm old school. I'm going to save a buck here. I'm going to keep doing it with a chisel and something. Then all of a sudden, as I got older, I actually bought the right tool. I'm going, my God, why didn't I buy this 30 years ago?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, for sure. They say you got to spend money to make money, and it's hard to do sometimes.
No, my favorite tool right now is that I have a cordless oscillate
flamethrower.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Fantastic. I mean, it's one of those things. I stayed away from getting one of those forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a buddy. He's a trim carpenter. I was at his house, and we're doing something out in his shop. And he whipped that thing out and did a couple cuts with it. Then he grabbed something, had a rasp on the end of it. And started. I was like, good gosh, that's handy, man.
Huh.
And so I bought one. And you know what? That's the tool I pick up all the time for all my stuff.
Nice.
Interesting. Yeah, so some
you know,
of this stuff is really helping us for people that they never uses, never thought they intended to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, yeah, exactly. I'm looking at, you know, as I'm trying to thin down my shop here, I'm looking at all these different welders. I've sold a couple, but I'm like, what do I keep and what, you know, sits here? And it's like, I love every single one of them, and I've used them. But it's like I got to narrow it down to something. So I pretty much narrowed it down to my MIG welder using Fluxcore. Mm-hmm. I even ditched my gas, you know. I got an arc welder. I got a TIG welder, you know, and just a regular Fluxcore. Then I had this MIG, and so I got rid of my gas. So now I'm just straight Fluxcore.
Yeah.
And then plasma cutters. Like, plasma cutters are kind of cool because they're pretty dirt cheap nowadays. And all it takes is air and electricity. Yeah. You know, you don't have to buy junk for it.
No, they're pretty fun.
You know, and you can do some really cool stuff.
I could really cause some damage with one of those, couldn't I?
Yeah. Oh, they're fun, dude. I mean, they're like really whatever you can think of. And like I said, nowadays, you know, they used to when they first came out, they're several thousand dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And Chinese get, you know, I cuss them all the time, but the Chinese got involved. And the Americans screwed up.
A racist said, hey. Would say.
Yeah. Well, the Americans said, you know, hey, screw this shit. Let's give it to Chinese. They can make it cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So it's their own damn fault. You know, like Miller and Lincoln, they let the Chinese start building their stuff. And a buddy of mine told me, he said, dude, it's the same brain. They just can't say that it's a Miller. So they make a whole different cabinet, call it some blah, blah, blah brand.
Yeah.
But he said, it's the same thing. And so he told me that. And I went on Amazon. My plasma cutter, I think, cost $299.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And you know what? I've used it to cut any. I've almost cut half inch steel. I mean, I've used it for a lot of stuff, and it just keeps on trucking, man.
Nice.
You know, yeah, you cut that plate that we shot with the cannon.
Yeah, sure did.
Uh-huh. That was epic.
I've cut a lot of stuff like that. I had a guy actually text me last night wanting to know about. He found some cannon fuse actually at a Cabela's at Bass Pro Shop.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Yeah, Yeah, he said it was like 4 millimeter. I was like, dude, that's a big hole. You know what I mean? For a fuse, that's for a big cannon.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to put it in one of those little 50 caliber ones.
Mm.
And I was like, it'll work. I said, but the problem is it's such a big hole back there, you know, it's such a big fuse, it can have a blowout pretty easily.
Yeah.
Where when you light it, you know, and it goes off, if you don't pack it just right, it's going to just blow out the fuse hole.
Yeah, for sure.
And he's like, well, I think I'm going to get it and try it. I was like, all right, dude, or you can just go online and buy it for like $6.99, whatever you want to do. Up to you, you know.
Yeah, there's important safety tips with cannons, you know, especially black powder ones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, I still get teased how fast I run when I lit that fuse. Because I had no, you know, boy, he can run when he has to. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know how much hang time you had on that fuse before it went boom.
I thought I made them pretty steady for about 6 years, I guess you would say. I go back to some of those early videos of mine going, man, no wonder I could run fast back then. I didn't have a belly hanging down.
Yeah, well, that and Jesus, man, you know. And then don't stand behind it, cause, man, they'll go back 10, 12 feet. Jeez, you know.
That's right. We did some really sketchy fun stuff with those things. It's like one of the ones that we look back on, there's an old video on it, is doing the two balls or two-pound balls with a chain, a log chain in between them.
Yeah, that sounds like something I'd have done when I was 16. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we did 50, it. You know.
Oh, we did it, and it was scary, man. It's like in the when a big cannon like that jumps off the ground like 2 feet, that means way overloaded it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we thought it was going to be beautiful, like a, you know, like a slow motion, like freaking weed eater, like chopping down trees. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. We shot it. Have no idea where it went.
That's like that one we shot over the thing, and we were just all paranoid that somewhere in Dallas or something, this cannonball is going to fly through some window somewhere. Remember?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. Y'all remember Mythbusters, right? Remember the old show Mythbusters? Yeah. You know, they shut down because of a cannon. You remember that? That was their very last episode.
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, they used to do all their testing and shooting at some, like, old Air Force base or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And had a runway and everything. And so they had this cannon. And I guess they were shooting at water barrels with testing out some cannon.
Yeah.
And it had a burn back behind it. And so what I learned about round balls, you got to be careful when you're shooting round balls. That's what, like I told people, put a sabo round in if you're going to shoot something round. That way it'll go all the way through it. So a round ball hits out of a cannon, it just rolls and spins up.
Oh, yeah.
So they shot this thing. They shut down production. They were done for the day. Everything was great. It went through the barrel. It's probably sticking in the dirt back there. No, that damn cannonball ramped up and went like a half a mile.
Oh, Jesus.
Went through like a minivan. It went through a minivan. It went through somebody's house.
Wow.
Holy. And we're not talking.
And here we are kidding, but yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking like a 2-pound round, you know, like a tennis ball. We're talking like a, well, you know, like what they call like a, you know, 10-pound, 15-pound round. We're talking, you know, almost the size of a bowling ball.
Well, we already know what bowling balls will do. That's been discussed on an episode. When you drop them out of a truck at 100 miles an hour.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, the bowling ball cannons, I always want to make one of those, but it's like, man, I really don't have a place to shoot something like that, you know? Because they go up. You can't really shoot them, side, you know, horizontally.
Yeah. Well, we thought because there was a brick wall behind the phone booth that that would stop that bowling ball. Ugh. But it vaporized the phone booth.
Oh, my gosh.
Just blew up that wall like on the shows, you see. And then went all the way through a commercial building.
Oh, jeez.
And then we all went, can you imagine a bunch of teenagers from 14 to the oldest one's like 16, just got the driver's license, going,
oh, man.
Oh, man, you know? Oh, my God. So, luckily, we never, it's just like we were talking, I think maybe me and you one time, what we just always stopped short of someone really getting killed, you know, or seriously
that's
hurt.
That's a good place to stop.
Maimed.
Yeah.
Seriously, so, maimed. Seriously, we had a bright idea of shooting a spear out of ours, like a,
shit.
I don't even know what, I mean, I was super dangerous. I machined the head out of aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you call it a spear gun, but it was out of a cannon barrel. Because my thought's always been, hell, if it fits down there, it's got to shoot it out. It may not be pretty coming out, but it's going to come out.
Yeah.
Right? And so I machined this aluminum spear and shoved it down there. And then I had the bright idea. I was going to put like a reel, and I got like a big bait casting reel, you know, with heavy, and I attached it on there. And that son of a bitch shot out sideways. I went crooked, jerked the reel off, turned the cannon sideways, so it almost like shot us. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, we made that double barrel cannon, which is a terrible idea from the get go.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Like, I put a picture of it up, and somebody said, that's a good way to shoot yourself in the dick. And I was like, it damn sure is it. And I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, you have two fuses and two barrels. Well, you know, I was at the third law of thermodynamics that's probably going to screw up if a redneck made it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so it did go off quite right. And so, you know, of course, one fuse is faster than the other one. So it shot one barrel, spun around, shot the other one at us. I was like, like, oh, my God.
Well, you think about it. Even if it's the same fuse, the odds are one's going to burn just a second faster,
yes.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Stupid. What the fuck were you thinking, buddy?
I don't know, man. I still got it. I got the double barrel. It's sitting in here.
It's not a popular item, I bet, huh?
Well, we ended up filling it up full of powder, and then we used the gap in between the barrels where they're sitting together.
Mm-hmm.
We put some black powder in there, you know, so it's like, oh, we can flashlight it, just light the top of it, and it should go off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
And that one kind of, it still went crooked. It shot one, then shot the other one off, you know, at a 45-degree angle. So, you know, that's just, it was just a bad idea.
Yeah.
The spear gun was a terrible idea. Then we started shooting army men in parachutes out of cannons. That was kind of fun.
How about when you shot the, cutlery set out of, or whatever, the dinner?
Oh, work. Yeah. You know what's crazy about that? That was my all-time, I think, favorite video we ever made, just because the pure violence that came out of that barrel.
I
bet. That kind of stuff. Because some of those damn things were backwards, just like a spoon, but it's the handle sticking in a half-inch piece of plywood. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then a GoPro. I lost it at that shoot because a damn fork hit it.
But the important thing was, did it save the memory card?
Yes, yeah. No, it's in the video. It's in the actual the video itself. There, I found a steel of the actual fork flying towards it.
Oh, wow!
And it's in that video. One time, I had a guy. He's like, "Man, I got to get some drone footage. Y'all shooting stuff." I was like, "Okay." So he brought out some drone, and he had it in the way too close from the stuff coming out of the barrel.
Because
it's not just the projectile. It's like, it's the bits of powder. It's the water. You know what I mean? It's all that junk.
Oh, yeah.
It's why it's really hard to actually set up something. Yeah, it's hard to set up like a, I can't remember which, a graph or whatever, where you can actually, you know, measure the speed of the, you know, the bullet coming out, whatever those are called. I had somebody trying to do that. Actually, some dude did a review and tried to do it, but you can't get it because it's all the bits of all the other junk flying out of that barrel.
Yeah.
But I had, he brought his drone out. And he was way too close, man. It was like a boom. And then we looked at him. I said, you get that? And he's like, I have no idea where that drone went. It was really funny because then we're picking up our trash and our mess, and he just threw the remote control in our big trash bag. He's like, well, there you go.
You mean it just disintegrated or just blew somewhere? To
I have no idea. It blew it off. It blew it somewhere. We have
China,
no idea where.
Back to China, where is me?
Yeah, and it was one of those little, it was a small one too, but it was an expensive one of those little DJI or whatever ones. And it was an expensive one, but yeah, it just blew the hell out of it, man.
Vaporized.
I guess nobody you never know until you try, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you never know. You just, you know, go for broke. But yeah, that was a good time, man. It was one of those things where we pretty much tried everything that you could possibly do with a Canon.
Mm-hmm.
And we have one where we actually shot on target at 3/4 of a mile.
Wow. Really?
And you got to think, these are smooth bores, man, mm-hmm. You know?
Wow.
They're not rifle barrels. It's a smooth bore.
Yeah.
And so that's a pretty impressive. My buddy Chris, though, you know, well, we got in trouble once on YouTube. Somebody called us out because he's, like, got a cigar in his mouth and shit and dumping a bunch of powder down his hand. Like, don't blow your damn.
Dude, I mean, that's what I was when we were at that undisclosed location. I'm going, this is just, what the hell? There's just going to be a crater, you know, and,
yeah.
And one rental and, you know, car and a bunch of two trucks, you know, and pieces of guys everywhere. My favorite part was when they couldn't get it, so they tipped the cannon straight up and down or something. We're packing the thing like.
Oh, yeah.
God.
I remember we did one video once, and it was like, someone's like, hey, man, let's go shoot this real quick. I was like, okay, we can do that. And I remember even the video talking about it's the first time I ever did a video shooting cannons where I was sober.
Mm-hmm. And you go, what the hell, right?
just a great time shooting. I still have that same cannon, Chuck, that big one.
Yeah.
I got it. It's going to go in the archives. I have the double barrel one. It's just a terrible idea. And
I think it's hilarious because you survived, but that, you know, I love it. You shot the one and then spun around and shot your ass.
Oh, yeah. My wife would say, oh, did y'all have a good time? And we didn't tell her about all the near-death experiences going out there and screwing around and doing stuff. But we also thought while we were doing it, that's one hell of an obituary. Think about it.
Yeah.
Shot with a homemade cannon. Boom!
There hasn't been a cannon in an obituary since the fucking pirates.
Yeah.
No. I was saying that, talking about stuff like that. So I had a friend that was talking about his buddy, and he was a Civil War collector, right?
Mm-hmm.
He paid thousands of dollars from some cannonball from like Gettysburg or something. One of those exploding cannonballs, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It was brand new, or it was new. It was never shot.
Brand new.
So he had it. Well, he had it, and he had it like in a display box and stuff. So his wife, they're going through some really shitty divorce, and his wife like told the cops and stuff that he had this cannonball, this dangerous whatever thing, didn't want her kids around it, and so they sent the bomb squad out to his apartment to blow up his Civil War cannonball.
Oh, geez.
So they paid thousands of dollars for it. They blew it up out in the parking lot. Isn't that terrible?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah.
I said, well, what did it do? He said it fizzled and shot some smoke out of the top of it.
Mm-hmm. Isn't did that they great? Give it back to him then?
Oh, no. They probably kept it. Evidence, you know. No
evidence.
Shouldn't have things like that.
Yeah, whatever.
You shouldn't have a 200-year-old cannonball or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Not history. Yeah. No. Let's not do that.
I am selling that mess kit and some of my stuff, Chuck. I did find out about one of my army hats too, my German one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a police officer's hat. No, it's a railroad hat.
Yeah, railroad hat. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a railroad hat. I did find that out.
Yeah, they're not.
And also found out that it has the wrong bill or whatever on it.
Yep. Sad. But you know, at the end, though, they had all kinds of. It depends. Because they were mixing and matching and doing all kinds of crap at the end, you know?
Yeah, the hat, I didn't know about the hat, you know, like I said. Now, I said, I know my gun's legit, but the hat, I didn't, you know, like I said, they came from two different things. But the hat, I've had it for a long time, and I just had this one collector guy tell me that. I was going, well, that's good to know, you know, that it has the wrong bill on it and has the wrong. He said that they're made out of, like, a cardboard something the originals were.
Yeah, but they also, on like the M34s and stuff, they would sew new bills, and I don't know. It just, who knows. The Krauts didn't know this stuff was going to be collectible, you know.
Besides,
they weren't planning on losing, so. Yeah,
they had other things on their mind.
Mm-hmm. Nobody plans on losing.
But that's what I tell people, you know, just because it has the Harley-Davidson stamp on it, it depends, you know, because, like you said, fire's common, police common, railroad's common, but they all look similar, you know.
They do, yeah.
You know, and so.
Well, don't, yeah, the new Harleys, man, with a buddy of mine, he was talking about all the, he owns a shop and stuff. He's talking about bolting on plastic on this new stuff. He just talked, they just kind of disappointed, you know, just what brands have done over the years.
The new Harleys are interesting, to say the least. I went and looked at them the other day just out of curiosity, and they're, yeah, they're something.
I was using that as a term because I didn't want to say the, I could say the crooked fruit.
What year is yours, Matt? I know you got a Harley.
Yeah, mine's a 2017 Street Glide Special.
You're still looking back, man.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's a work in progress.
Yeah, I saw it's got that red handprint on the fairing there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's cool.
Honor the missing and murdered indigenous women.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, that's a good fight. Still got, if y'all know of any BSA collectors out there in California, man, I still got this awesome bike I like.
Oh, my God. Dude, it's my, remember, no, you don't remember. We'll have to get Nick Abood from the Abood Salad, you know, the guy that makes most famous, whatever that sauce is that they sell at Whole Foods.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that red shit that goes with the shrimp?
Cocktail sauce.
I know a bunch of guys that have a BSA club.
I will send you pictures, dude. Here's the deal. I can't really bring it with me. I am going to take my German bike with me until I decide to do something else, you know?
Well, you so bring your German bike unless it's coming to my house, dude. You better not go anywhere
I know.
Else.
Well, you know? We've already discussed that. You're on my list. Mm-hmm. But the BSA, I would love to sell it. I mean, that bike's worth probably, I don't know, probably $6,000 or $7,000 probably. Mm-hmm. It's been totally, I got that in the damn motor because I put new valves and new pistons.
No, I know. Oh, wow. Dude, I'm glad you reminded me because I can think of three guys right off the top of my head.
And the thing is, all three of them I want on
the podcast. So.
The thing is, too, with that bike, you know, I got all the original paperwork. I'm the second owner. The dude that owned it was a Vietnam fighter pilot, so the bike's called Big Julie because that was his call name.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I actually got a picture of the guy flying his jet, too, that it belonged to.
Oh, wow.
And I got all the original parts to change it back into the original bike, not the flat track bike.
Mm-hmm.
So, nice. You know, I got a lot of stuff with it. It just needs a new home, man, you know?
Yeah, and that's got all of Providence, which is really the story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
More cool than the items sometimes.
Yep, 100%.
Yep.
Well, it's like we're talking about Warhol, you know, and a buddy of mine, he's one of my old professors from UT, and he's going to give it to him. He said, not right now because he's not anywhere near dying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but you're going to get it. But he's got a cigarette butt signed by Andy Warhol.
Oh, wow.
No way.
Yep.
Interesting.
He was at a party. Yeah, party in New York back in the 70s, I guess. And anyway, and Andy Warhol was there and stuff at that party, and they were talking and stuff. And he's like, I guess the story goes from my buddies, like, he's like, Andy put out that cigarette, said, hey, has anybody got a pen? He put the cigarette, he was smoking, signed that, and he said, here you go. Now you can tell people you met Andy Warhol. He's like, okay.
Huh.
And so when I first met this professor of mine, he had it in a Ziploc bag with a thumbtack hanging on his wall in his office. I was like, what the hell is that all about? He said, oh, that's a Warhol. I'm like, what? Anyway, so, but you're talking about sometimes the story is more important than the item. See, that right there, the story is more important than the actual item.
Oh, heck yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because it's Providence, and you can prove, you know what I mean? It can be can be authenticated.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can actually get the DNA off that cigarette, too.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way to prove that it was his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
Yep.
Yeah, right? I hadn't scored it yet, though. I hit him off the – when I was stuck in New Mexico, I was stuck to this guy, and so we'd have drunk conversations about this Andy Warhol series. I was like, you know, I need it. You know this? And so got back. I sent him a text out of blue, said, hey, so – after our drunk discussions about the Andy Warhol cigarette, so he's like, and he gave me this big, like, 50-page text back about patience and all this stuff. I was like, oh. I think he gave me straight-up blue balls, you know what I mean? Because I got all excited about that, just blue balls for however many years now.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, John, we got to wrap this up, I think.
Yep, we hit our hour for this episode. So.
Yeah.
I always enjoy it, guys.
No, this one I think came out better than the first one, actually.
Yeah, no, it's always a good time talking to you, bud.
Yeah, and then I got that part on the, you know, I'll let you know when it's on the way to your house.
100%. Like I said, I got the sleeve stacks kind of got me depressed right now, so I'm doing that, and I'm working on my Killdozer belt sander.
I love it.
That's awesome. Yeah, we welded up the first part. I hate welding aluminum, but we made the first part, so, yeah, my buddy Chris is going to be over here this evening. So it's going to be a night full of cigars and beer drinking and aluminum welding. We do a really – it looks really crappy. It looks like a bird who's been eating straight cheese for like 6 months went along top of my aluminum weld and just, you know, wore it out.
That's how I weld.
Mm-hmm. It's just terrible. You know, I mean, it looks bad. I told Chris, he said, don't you tell anybody I welded it. I said, I'm going to grind it down and put a bunch of JB Weld on it, so who cares?
Yeah. All right, buddy. Well, we'll talk.
Y'all be good
soon.
Out there, guys.
All right. Send me the pictures.
Right. See you later.
Take care. Right. Bye. Bye-bye.
Another good one.
Mm-hmm. That was a bitching.
Yeah.
Nice. Better than the first one.
Yeah,
we got into the cannons more.
Absolutely. He's always a kick in the ass to talk to.
Yeah. Oh, we're still live.
Yeah, we're still going.
Oh, shoot. I thought we were.
No, we
got
to do our...
You almost got some hot mic shit right there.
I know, right? Another tape of bloopers.
Right.
All right, well, you heard it. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Off-Centered Outdoors, guys. Follow us everywhere on social media, at Butcher Shop Taxidermy. Where are you at?
Duck_Vader on Instagram. Jeff Davis in Port Hueneme.
Do you remember where you're at, Chuck?
Oh.
No, you don't know have any idea where you're at.
I'm at Ojai. No, either Ojai_Valley_Taxidermy
yep.
on Instagram or one of the 38 Chuck Testas on Facebook.
Yeah, look at Chuck Testa Official on YouTube if you want to see some old school videos.
Yeah, please. And then Matt's channel.
Yep.
We got all the new stuff.
Yep, absolutely. So, you can find these here there. Or find these here there, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those kind of days.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.